This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to WRFL Lexington. It's 4 o'clock, and you're listening to Green Talks, where we explore the people and projects that are using the Environmental Stewardship Fee to promote sustainability in the UK community. I'm your host, Sophie Bevan, and I'm the current Director of Outreach for the Student Sustainability Council. The funding for the projects featured on our show comes from the Environmental Stewardship Fee, a $4 fee that all UK students pay along with tuition each semester. The ESF, which is expected to generate approximately $190,000 by the end of the school year, is distributed by the Student Sustainability Council, hereafter the SSC, for various projects that enhance the culture of sustainability here at the University of Kentucky. So this week, I'm joined by two representatives from Campus Kitchens here at UK, and they're here to talk about their project called Sustainable Solutions Through Microprocessing. So everyone, thanks for coming on here this week.
Thank you.
So could each of you just introduce yourself just to let us know who you are and how you're involved with Campus Kitchens?
All right. My name is Danielle Stahl. I'm a recent graduate from UK. I majored in human nutrition, and I currently serve as an AmeriCorps VISTA with Campus Kitchen.
And I'm Connor Van Meter, a senior at UK, and I am the current president of the Campus Kitchen at the University of Kentucky.
Awesome. Thanks. So before we really dive into what this project is about, could just one of you or both of you just explain what Campus Kitchens is and just a little bit of backstory around it, just so we really know what we're talking about here.
Yeah. So I first started with Campus Kitchens about 4 years ago. We started in August 2014. And we are a student-run nonprofit based on UK's campus, and our goal is threefold. We want to empower minds, strengthen bodies, and build community for the power of food while also reducing food waste. So we cover leftover food from dining halls, farmers market, produce that's perfectly good and healthy to eat, but maybe a little bit bruised or just didn't get served to people. And we use those meals to make more nutritious meals, and we give out to those people who are experiencing food insecurity in Lexington's community.
Awesome, thanks. That sounds like a really great organization that's relatively new to campus, which is awesome. And so you all just started this new project called Sustainable Solutions Through Microprocessing. So what is just the overall goal of this project?
So the main goal is mostly just to reduce food waste that we currently make. You know, we can't get to everything in time, so some stuff does end up going to waste. We also want to make sure that we increase our healthy food access throughout our entire year. So during the winter months, fresh produce is limited, obviously. So with the use of microprocessing, we'll be able to have access to those healthy foods even when there's not a lot of things growing.
Yeah, awesome. And so what exactly is microprocessing? Because I feel like, you know, we have a general sense of what it is, but can you just give a more detailed how it works and what all is involved when you go through this process?
Yeah, so microprocessing is processing on a small scale that you and I can do at our homes quite easily. And for us, that's going to mean canning and freezing a lot of the produce we get during the summer months, during growing seasons, and having things like pasta sauces, jams, jellies, canned vegetables like green beans that we can use throughout the year that we can store on our shelves for a longer period of time, and that way they don't go to waste.
Awesome. And so does it require heavy equipment, or do you know the logistics behind it at all? That's kind of a really weird question. I guess I'm trying to visualize what exactly are you all doing the microprocessing, or is it a machine?
I'm sure there are machines that do it, but for us, yeah, we're pretty simple. You can just get a big pot in those mason jars. Mm-hmm. And essentially that's really all you need. There are other things you can use to make it easier, but
nice. I like how simple it is.
Yeah.
Really simple. I like it. And so the food that you all are microprocessing, where are you all getting this food? Or just with Campus Kitchens in general, where does the food come from that you all are using to do this?
Yeah, so the food for the microprocessing is coming from a variety of sources thanks to a bunch of wonderful community partnerships. So we partnered Glean Kentucky to get a lot of fresh produce from the farmers markets, from UK South Farm, UK Horticulture Club, and Lucky Supermarket. And we also grow some of our own produce through the Gaines Garden and RBU services. We have two outdoor gardening programs over there. And so anything that's extra from there, we actually take into our kitchen and use for operations.
Awesome. That's like a lot of cool partnerships that I was not aware of. That's cool. And so after you've done the microprocessing, who or where is this food then distributed to?
So mostly it could be used for us, but we could also give it to you. We deliver to a lot of other partner agencies and out in the community, so we could potentially deliver it to people. Again, in the winter months, sometimes our recoveries are a bit lower than what we'd get in the spring or the summertime. So it's good to just have other sources of food.
Yeah, definitely. And so what are some of the benefits to microprocessing? Like when you're trying to convince someone to do this, like what would be like your selling go-to point to convince someone to do this?
I have two selling points. The first one is if you have a lot of spare time on a weekend, it's basically prep cooking for all those preppers out there. So you do all your bulk cooking at once, and then you have canned whatever for a longer period of time. So if you really want to make pasta, you can already have a pasta sauce made, so you don't have to spend your day making it. Or if you want to kind of pre-cook your greens a little bit, it takes it long. It doesn't take as long. The other one is, as Danielle mentioned earlier, it's really helpful during the winter months when, let's say, you want to have fresh green beans, or you want to have, oh gosh, fresh fruit is really nice. Fresh strawberries.
It's always nice.
Not paying a premium to buy.
And just having that canned already for you to go, it's preserved, so it is safe to eat. And also, you just open it up and cook it how you want, and it's ready to go.
It's also nice because you can control what goes in there. So if you want to make it a little like lower sodium as opposed to like a can you buy at a grocery store, you ultimately get to decide what goes in there.
Yeah, so. That's nice. Yeah. Always knowing where your food comes from. Yeah. That's always a good thing. Yeah. And so how do you, like, you all think that this, like, really most strongly relates to sustainability, just, like, in your all's opinion? Either, like, microprocessing or just, like, food insecurity itself or food waste, just really, like, how do you all, like, really feel that this relates to sustainability?
Well, statistically, about 40% of all the food that gets processed in the U.S. ultimately gets wasted. Meanwhile, 1 in 6 people go hungry, so just sustainable. Like, we have the resources already available. They're being produced. They're just not being utilized in the proper way. So if we can divert that food waste and feed people, then, I mean, we're not using as much resources to make up for.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that's kind of something that's often overlooked is food waste, especially something like, because, I mean, I know that I do it all the time. Yeah. Like, I don't even think about it. So I think that's awesome that, like, Campus Kitchens is, like, an entire entity like dedicated to like limiting that food waste, which is awesome. So how did this idea for this project like come about? Do y'all know?
Yeah, so we currently deliver food once a week to the Griffith Ballard Towers as part of the Lexington Housing Authority close to downtown, and it's a residence for older adults who are low income poverty. And since we deliver meals there, one of the things that we were talking about with them is that they're interested in having a source of fresh produce because some of them do have outdoor gardens, but they're worried about during the winter months they didn't have as much access to food that was fresh other than the meals prepared them and meals that they got free lunch through their housing. And so one of the ideas that came out talking with them is that we thought about giving them fresh produce bags during the summer months when we had that produce, but then during the winter months, they wouldn't get that fresh produce. And so we talked to them about what would they like to see. And a lot of them actually had the great idea of having this canning initiative so that way they could benefit from the microprocessing as well.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Sweet. And so where in, like, the timeline of this project are you guys right now?
So at the moment, we've ordered all the equipment. Since it is January, it's snowing outside, it's really cold, nothing is quite growing right now.
Yeah.
We're not really recovering a ton of fresh produce, so I think when it gets more towards March, when things start blooming, we'll work on.
Going. I like it. And are you all planning on, like, having this project continue over the course of, like, many years, or just, like, seeing how this, like, first round goes, or, like, what are, like, your future plans with this project?
Our plans right now is to have microprocessing become a staple part of our kitchen repertoire, so that way we're able to have, one, decrease our food waste permanently, and also to have a variety of canned goods to use throughout the year and make ourselves more sustainable. And the second part of this is having a nutrition and cooking curriculum that we can use to help teach people microprocessing skills. So students want to learn how to can goods. They can then take the knowledge they learn with us and take it home with them.
Awesome. Sweet. And so that kind of leads me into, like, another one of my questions is, what are some, like, ways that people can get involved with this project? Other, you said the education with the canning. Is there, like, any, like, other, like, volunteer things people can do, or?
We run shifts pretty much 5 days a week, almost all throughout the year, with the exception of, like, winter break, spring break. We have a website where you can sign up for volunteer shifts. We have recovery shifts, processing shifts, gardening shifts, cooking shifts, delivery shifts.
Oh, wow. So all over,
In the aspect of campus kitchens, students can get involved, whether just volunteering from day to day to leading the volunteer opportunities to serving on the executive committee and kind of overseeing all different parts. And the easiest way for people to get involved is we have a website, vhub.at/ckuk. So it's vhub.at/ckuk, and we have tons of volunteer opportunities for anyone who's interested.
Awesome. And is that open to just UK students, or is it also open to the community? Or
it's open to UK students, community members. You can be in high school, middle school, although if you are in middle school or below, we recommend having a parent with you because you are working with a lot of kitchen implements for safety.
Makes sense.
But we can have volunteers from 5 up to 95 and above. So
that's awesome.
More than merrier.
Just whoever wants to.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, because I had, like, no idea how, like, far-reaching Campus Kitchens was. Like, I always knew it was, like, on UK, but I didn't realize how many, like, programs you guys do and how open to the community you guys are, which is awesome. So with that, we're actually going to take a quick break, but we will be right back. Hello, and welcome back to Green Talks. I'm your host, Sophie, and this week I'm here with two representatives from Campus Kitchens, and they are talking about their project called Sustainable Solutions Through Microprocessing. So I guess to just hop right back into it, what are each of your all's roles within this project?
So my role as a VISTA is mostly just kind of overlooking, making sure everything's going as it should be, like according to our timeline, just following up with people, making sure everything's safe, everything's right.
Yeah. Nice.
My role as president is to kind of lead students and our volunteers and kind of hone the passion for this project and also kind of just navigate the waters and promote the project as much as possible, so that way we can have a huge turnout for all our microprocessing.
Yeah, nice. I was reading your all's project proposal again the other day, and something that sounded really cool to me was the garden fellow. So can you all explain, like, what that is and how it relates to the project and just, like, what their role is within this?
So our garden fellow is a UK student who oversees both our indoor and outdoor gardening initiatives and also is overseeing the microprocessing. And our garden fellow this year is Morgan Barnett, and she has been wonderful. The garden fellow reports on the volunteers that we have. They develop and implement teaching curriculum. So she developed a curriculum in the garden teaching volunteers how to garden with seasonal plants. Actually learned from her how to properly garden with herbs. One of the things I did not know is that if your herbs start to flower, you're supposed to pick the flowers off, so that way all the energy goes towards the leaf production, which is where all your flavors come from. Because otherwise, energy goes towards your flower production.
That's really cool.
It's kind of cool that I'm getting to learn a lot of stuff from our own fellows that are really passionate about these parts of our projects that we have.
And does CKUK have other fellows, or is this just, like, kind of like a new thing with this project specifically?
So our fellowships change depending on our needs and also where the interests of our students lie. And so previous fellowships, we had a senior hunger fellow who led an intergenerational mentoring program, and it brought together college students and older adults who were teaching each other cooking skills and how to prepare meals. We also had a previous student who implemented a nutrition education curriculum at a summer feeding site at a church. And she taught elementary schoolers about basics of eating right, where food comes from, and how to live a healthy diet on a budget.
Wow. So, yeah, once again, all throughout the community in so many different facets. It's awesome. So I also read that Campus Kitchens was named the 2016 Campus Kitchens of the Year, which is really cool. So what, like, did that all entail? Like, do you know, like, how you all got this, like, awesome award or recognition?
I think our campus kitchen is really lucky because we do have the support of the Department of Dietetics and Human Nutrition. Mm-hmm. They allow us to use our space that we have. They do help us out with like advisors, like different faculty that give us advice. Like for our canning training, there was an extension agent that came and helped us out for that mm-hmm. over the summer. I think definitely without the support of the department, it would be hard to get as far as we have because yeah. we're a fairly new campus kitchen, but we've done a lot in the time that we've been
yeah,
here.
Yeah, that's awesome. And where do you all like hope to go from here? Do you have like any like crazy like long-term goals or like I don't know.
Gosh.
That's two a really
crazy
hard
goals
question.
That we've talked about. And these are probably like, hey, dreams, pie in the sky. One is to have zero food waste on campus, period. Mm-hmm. So completely reduced food waste on UK's campus. We currently recover from a variety of UK dining locations. So UK dining has been very helpful working with us to reduce their food waste. So it's just going that extra step and trying to eliminate as much as possible, which is mm-hmm. very hard when you get down to the nitty gritty of it.
Yeah.
And then the other one is our garden fellow is very passionate about gardening. And anytime I'm out and about for helping her, she just looks at a spot on campus. She's like, we could put a garden there.
Yeah. Yes. That would be awesome.
So I wouldn't surprise me if the next year or two, she's come up with like a gardening master plan for UK, mm-hmm. all different spots. She would love to see gardens.
Would not mind that.
Yeah, that would be great. I would love to walk around and just see a bunch of gardens everywhere. That'd be so nice. And like the food waste initiative, that would be great too, because that fits right really well into UK's recently mm-hmm. evolved mm-hmm. sustainability strategic plan. So you guys could play just a really vital role in that, which is great. So, I know you all talked about some other programming that you all do, but do either one of you have like a favorite program that you guys do or something that really sticks out that you are personally like really, really into specifically?
My favorite, not necessarily programming, but just mm-hmm. kind of shift to go on is the delivery usually with the older adults, just because they're always so much fun to talk to.
Yeah.
And it's generally the same people that come back every week. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they recognize you every time you walk in and they get really excited. And just the stories they tell are actually insane, yeah. but it's so funny yeah. to listen to them. And that's my favorite part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think something new that we started this past year is we partnered with the Food Connection over at the 90, and we put on a series of community-style dinners called Gathering at the Table, where we cooked together a meal, and then we ate together and learned something. So this past semester, we had three meals focused around the ideas of local foods. We talked about local foods in terms of health, the environment, and food security. And what was really cool was just seeing a variety of different community members, not just students and faculty and staff, people out in Lexington that are not affiliated with UK, come to UK's campus and cook a meal based on local seasonal fresh produce mm-hmm. and then share their stories and ideas and just talk about it.
Yeah.
And that was really fun.
Yeah, that sounds really fun. That's really nice.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Very good. Are you guys doing that again this year or anything similar to that?
Yes, so we are continuing the programming in the spring. We have not set dates yet. We mm-hmm. will release them when they're ready.
Okay, and then it'll be on that website again?
Yeah.
Awesome. Just that website sounds very useful.
Yes.
Yes,
awesome. And I'm also just, like, still really interested in those other service ways you can get involved. So you said you have the delivery crew, and then what else did you have?
So we have our cooking shifts. We have three?
I think we're up to four, processing.
Oh, yeah. So three cooking shifts and a processing shift every week. And cooking shifts are fun. Like, you don't mm-hmm. have to have any experience at all. You can just come in. And we have shift captains, which are people that oversee the shift. And they're really, really good about, like, explaining, like, you know, before
yeah.
the
just
first
like
time I volunteered,
blind.
Like, I was yeah. not a good cook. And I was very nervous about it. But they're so good about reassuring you and mm-hmm. just, like, explaining in detail what you need to do. We have recovery shifts where you go to the different sites and recover all the food. And that's really eye-opening just to see how much is getting wasted.
Yeah.
Or, like, would be wasted. But mm-hmm. luckily, it's coming back with us.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think that's, besides the deliveries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Well, gardening shifts, too.
Yeah, gardening
yeah.
shifts.
Although it's a bit hard to garden right now.
Yeah.
Since
yeah, that seems a little difficult. Maybe. And so, how... Sorry, I'm just, like, hopping all over the place. Everything's, like, running through my mind at once right now. So you said that you just graduated recently, mm-hmm. right? And so how were you involved with Campus Kitchens during an undergrad? Or, like, how did you get involved initially? And then how did you, like, get to where you are now with it?
So yeah, I did start volunteering with Campus Kitchens in undergrad. I did a few cooking shifts here and there, and then I was a part of the intergenerational mentoring program that Connor mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't honestly do as much as I wanted to in undergrad, but I was still a part of it. And I don't know, just like the mission is so in line with what everybody's belief should be, really.
Yeah.
And this VISTA position came open as I was graduating. I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do yet, mm-hmm. so it was kind of perfect. And
yeah, that's awesome. Cool. And you, Connor, are undergrad still.
Yes, I am a senior.
Yes.
So I first got involved my first semester freshman year. I had to do service for a class, and I had a friend who was kind of helping me figure out what I wanted to do. And so she's pointing at different places on campus. She's like, hey, one of my friends mentions like this campus kitchen thing. I think you can cook. I know you like to cook. And I'm like, I have no clue what it is, but it involves cooking, so I'm going to go.
Yeah. And then here you are now.
Yes. I'm present after 4 years. So if your friend asks you to do something and you think you might enjoy it, I recommend saying yes, because, man, I did not realize how wanting to cook has led me to leading a student-run nonprofit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And so, once again, can you say that website again and like how people can get involved?
So if people want to volunteer, we have a website, and you can sign up for all of our shifts at vhub.at/ckuk. So it's vhub, V-H-U-P-B, vhub.at/ckuk. And then we also have a website for UK. I don't remember the URL off the top of my head.
If you just Google like UKY, DHN, Campus Kitchen, something will come.
It's a really long address.
But you can find it. And then you have just like ways you can get involved, which sounds great.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, do either of you all have any last wise words to share with the WRFL listeners? If not, it's okay.
I do want to say thank you to Student Submitted Council for continuing to support our work. Yes. And it's been really awesome having students both on our side and also on your side supporting it. So props to you guys.
Yeah, we are very happy to do it, always. Thanks. Well, now we just have a few closing announcements. Any member of the UK community can submit a proposal to the SSC for project funding. So if you have an idea for a project that will enhance the culture of sustainability on UK's campus, we encourage you to submit a project proposal. And those can be found on our website, which is uky.edu/sustainability. And you can also stay up to date with us on our website, Facebook, or Instagram. And if you have any questions or would just like to know more about projects featured on Green Talks, feel free to call into the studio at 859-257-9735. And as always, thank you for listening to Green Talks here on WRFL. Keep it locked.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to wrfl.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.